A few years ago, my friend sent me a short video saying, Mike, look, I found a Chinese girl who looks just like you. Please play the video. It's impossible. That's impossible, right? Well, I watched.
Have you another daughter, have you?
Maybe. Well, please, my wife is listen now. So when I watched it, I was so surprised. How could this be possible? But it was not real Chinese girl. It was just a joke. I think our young people know some face app, right? So my friend used a face app to change my face to a girl. Yeah. So that's the reason why. That's not real Chinese girl, looks like me, okay? Okay. Yeah. Yes, after that happening, my friend kept sending me many funny pictures of my face. One day, I'd be transformed into an elderly man. The next, I'd be transformed into a woman. Yeah, mother said. But my daughter, totally different from this face. So, have you ever witnessed a transformation so profound it left you speechless? Perhaps you have seen someone you love overcome addiction, or watched a neighborhood blossom from neglect to beauty, or maybe you have experienced a personal transformation that others noticed before you did yourself. In our scripture reading today, we encounter transformation in its most glorious form. We see Moses descending Mount Sinai, his face radiant from being in God's presence, so bright that he needed to wear a veil. We hear Paul speaking of the transformation that comes through Christ, where the veil is removed, and we reflect the Lord's glory with ever-increasing brightness. And we witness Jesus himself transfigured on the mountain, his face shining like the sun, his clothes as white as light, speaking with Moses and Elijah about his departure that he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. The transfiguration reveals Jesus in his divine glory. For a brief moment, the veil between heaven and earth is pulled back, and Peter and James and John see Jesus as he truly is, the beloved Son of God in whom God is well pleased. They witness the convergence of the law and the prophets represented by Moses and Elijah, with Jesus at the center, fulfilling all that had come before. Then, Peter's response is so human. He says, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses and one for Elijah. He wants to capture the moment, to contain the glory, to stay on the mountain forever. Haven't we all felt this way in moments of spiritual clarity? Or have you ever felt a moment of happiness that you wanted to stay with forever? When was the moment of happiness? When was the moment of happiness? So, can I ask you? When was the moment of happiness? Okay.
Birth of my first child.
Birth of your first child. Mm-hmm. Right. I heard the same answer in St. Albans. So, what about you? No? Okay, Jerry.
I don't have one particular thing. So I should say the wedding day.
Okay, yep.
But I guess just in general, anytime that I've achieved something. I mean, my students, some of us, performed at a wedding reception once. That was really cool.
Mm-hmm. So you want to stay there?
Yeah, it was the first time when we actually really performed as like outside of church. So.
All right.
From there, like everyone was like, oh, you guys should perform at our birthday. I'm like, oh.
All right. So, a team?
Yeah.
Yeah, team. So, when was the moment of happiness?
When was the moment of happiness?
Yeah.
That's a good question. No pressure. I think it's a collection of moments that of happiness that are making up, you know, the best parts of my life. So.
All right.
So you know, kids, wife. Friends, like,
yeah,
it's yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's quite difficult to pick just a particular one, right?
Yeah.
So if I were you, I would say like, when was the moment of happiness to me was the moment I married with my wife.
Yes, same.
All right, so. When was the moment of happiness? I think you have various answers.
Can I just say, in my kitchen, when I put music on, I was in 3 musical theatre productions, so I love music, right? So when I put praise music on, it just gets more and more. And when you go behind the veil and praise the Lord, it sort of just lifts you, lifts your spirit like nothing else. You know?
Wow. So you won't stay there forever?
Oh, yeah.
Right, with the 3 shelters?
No,
yeah,
I
it's just a joke.
Sort
yeah.
Sort of thinking, you know, you think you don't want to die or whatever, but I said, Lord, can I die in my bed? I don't want to die in a castle.
Oh.
Right? So in my bed. And Jesus said to me, I will, when that time comes, I will take your hand and I will go up.
Thanks, Krishna. Your
so
answer.
It's no fear.
All right. Thank you. All right. So I think we experience God's presence in worship, right? Or on some retreat, or in a moment of a prayer, like you. And we think, this is it. This is where I want to stay. We want to build shelters around our mountaintop experiences and live in the glory forever. But notice what happens next. A cloud envelops them, and a voice speaks. This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. When the voice has spoken, they find Jesus alone. And what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? He leads them, his disciples, down the mountain. back to the valley where people are suffering, where a father is desperate for his son to be healed, where the cross awaits. Jesus does not stay in his transfigured state. He doesn't remain on the mountain. The glory revealed there was not meant to be contained, but to strengthen his disciples for what lay ahead. They needed to see who Jesus truly was before they could understand his mission. They needed to witness his glory before they could comprehend his sacrifice. And here lies the profound truth for us today. Transformation is not meant to be private or permanent. It's meant to be shared and to lead to further transformation. The radiance Moses carried down the mountain was not for himself, but for the people. The unveiled faces Paul speaks of are meant to reflect God's glory to others. Jesus' transfiguration was not the end of his story, but a revelation of his identity that gave meaning to his coming death and resurrection. When we experience transformation in Christ, when the scales fall from our eyes and we see ourselves and others as beloved children of God, we are not meant to build shelters around that experience and stay there. We are meant to come down from the mountain and allow that transformation to encourage us for mission in the world. Yes, we gather in this church to be transformed. We come to this place to encounter God's presence, to hear God's word, to be reminded of God's love, and we rejoice in that transformation. But we must not stop there. The transformation we receive here is not meant to be contained within these walls. It's meant to be carried out these doors into our homes, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, and our world. We are transformed so that we might be agents of transformation. We reflect God's glory so that others might see it and be drawn to its source. The transformation of Jesus was the beginning of the transformation of the world. His glory revealed on the mountain pointed to an even greater glory to be revealed through his death and resurrection, a glory that would not be veiled but would spread throughout the earth, changing lives, healing wounds, reconciling enemies, and making all things new. I don't want you to cling to the mountain. Let us follow Jesus down into the valley, carrying his transforming light with us. For the world needs people who have been changed by Christ's love and who are committed to changing the world with that same love. The transfiguration reminds us we are transformed not merely to experience glory, but to share it. May we be faithful to that calling. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for changing us with your light. Help us not to keep this change to ourselves, but to carry it down the mountain into our world. Make us brave to share your love with others, just as Jesus did. Transform us so we may help transform the world. Amen.